Joining me now, Deputy White House Chief of Staff, the President's Chief Political Advisor, Karl Rove. Karl, good to have you.
Tony, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I thought the President did great on foreign policy last night. I think that the reviews are mixed on the domestic side. So let's talk about that. I do want to touch a little bit on the foreign policy. I was sort of interested in things I didn't hear about last night. For instance, on the energy side, no mention of domestic oil, either the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, oil, shale, any of that. Does that mean the administration has said we're going away from oil and we're going to these other sources?
Look, no. I mean, we need to continue to develop responsibly and reasonably our domestic hydrocarbon reserves, but we're doing that. We continue to push for ANWR. Well, the Department of Interior is in the final stages of the 5-year plan to further develop our resources on the Outer Continental Shelf. We've had the largest lease, program in the history of the country, largest number of bidders, largest number of dollars put up for the development of oil shale projects on the western slope of Colorado and in Wyoming and Utah. So we're continuing to develop those angles. But in addition, the President wanted to make clear that we also need to move on another front, which is to use technology to help break break our dependence on Mideast oil. We have, I've attended a number of meetings over the last 6 months with the advanced energy people at DOE and here at the White House, and we are on the verge of a series of breakthroughs that we can accelerate that will help us reduce dependence on oil and drive cars that will go further on a gallon of gas or will go further on no gas at all. And we've got to have a strategy that both increases production and uses technology in order to wean our dependence on Mideast oil.
Okay, I want to Jerry Taylor of the Cato Institute or Competitive Enterprise Institute is sort of a skeptic. I don't know if you've read what he's put out today, but I'll give you some of the critiques. It says zero-emission coal-fired plants. We've been trying that for years. Hasn't proven economically feasible. We talk about ethanol. It's something that costs a lot, not necessarily market feasible, but it is federally mandated. You've got the President talking about technologies that have been subsidized for years. Why, if they've been getting all these federal subsidies, are they suddenly now viable? And if they're so viable, why isn't there a big market for them? Why aren't investors flooding in right now? Because if I'm an investor and I've got the alternative to oil, I figure, man, I'm going to get rich. I'm going to invest right now.
Well, first of all, I disagree with some of his assumptions. Zero emission coal plants are a coming reality. We have dramatically reduced carbon emissions. And the clean coal program in which the government has been funding in combination with industry, basic research into how to make these plants work, has brought down dramatically the emissions from coal plants. And we can see we're now to the point where a lot of this is an engineering problem, not a basic science problem. And yes, we will follow this program through, and industry, the power generation industry, will be able to build coal-fired plants that are clean and efficient. Ethanol, what the President was talking about last night was a new form of ethanol that can be price competitive with gasoline without the large subsidies that go to corn. Now, corn, in fact, this will, technology is improving our use of corn, but the use of in essence, waste material, wood chips and corn stalks in so-called cellulosic ethanol can be cost competitive with gasoline in 6 years, according to the scientists and the engineers working on the problem. You're right to say that government has invested in technology and that the technology is starting to pay off. Most of your listeners probably don't know it, but every time that a hybrid car produced by Toyota is bought by somebody, a check is written to the Department of Energy. And that's because it was basic research at the Department of Energy that developed the battery that is absolutely critical to making the hybrid car work.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the next generation of battery, a lithium-ion battery, is being developed under a joint project between the U.S. Department of Energy and Johnson Controls at plants in Milwaukee. And it's private industry and the government working together. Now, venture capital, you're right. I mean, ultimately, it's not going to be the government that's going to take these technologies and adapt them to uses and bring them to market. It's going to be the private sector. And we met with a bunch of people from the VC, the venture capital world, and they had an interesting message. They said there is more money going into technology fixes to energy and waiting to go into fixes for technology fixes for energy than they have ever seen by a very large factor. That is to say, the private sector understands how powerful technology is in improving the efficiency of energy and how powerful an investment some of those technologies can be in the years ahead. So the private sector is ready, as we saw it in the case of, we had a bunch of scientists at the Department of Energy playing around with batteries, and it was the private sector that said, let's take that battery and make the hybrid car a reality. And we're going to see a lot more of that in the years ahead.
Unfortunately, I'm about to run out of time, so I'll ask you compressed stuff here. It seems to me the president wants to extend the Patriot Act, extend tax cuts. Is it your calculation, is it the calculation that big issues like Social Security and that sort of stuff, just not going to happen? So
no.
Right now the president's saying, just extend what I need and we'll get back to you later.
No, in fact he said, this problem's not going to go away. We're going to address it immediately in the budget by asking for some reductions in the future growth rate of entitlement spending. We did in the last budget. We got $50 billion of savings, of which I think a significant chunk was in the mandatory front. We're going to ask for even larger savings on the mandatory front in the coming budget. And the president also said, look, let's recognize this as a problem and sit down, Republicans and Democrats alike, as we did in 1982 on Social Security, and see if we can find some common ground.
Okay,
maybe it'll be a comprehensive solution, maybe it'll be incremental, but let's dialogue about where we can find common ground in dealing with this problem that's going to be afflicting any Congress and any president in the years ahead.
All right, Karl Rove, pleasure having you. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Tony.
Talk to you soon.